This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, don't listen to the radio or the internet stream. I don't know why I'm talking like this suddenly, other than it's a little bit of fun. It's somewhere between Australian, New Zealand, and perhaps a little British. We're not really sure.
I was going to guess Puerto Rican, but okay.
We're not really sure where this accent comes from, but it is here nonetheless, and I'll try and stop doing that now for the sake of the forwarding of the show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Got you, man.
I mean, most of the world had a British accent at some point, so.
Did they?
Well, actually, the British used to have our accent.
Okay.
What about that, what do you call it? It's in all the old, like, the black and white films. It's not the New York, it's not like the Brooklyn, but it's the, oh, it's the transatlantic accent.
Oh, like the Connecticut
people? Like,
transatlantic lives matter?
Think of, like, Alfred Hitchcock's The Rear Window.
Okay.
Right? Jimmy Stewart had the biggest accent.
Yeah.
Right? He was almost a Sean Connery in that one, right? Like, you know, but, like, everybody else had this, like, North Atlantic accent that was not New York, right? It wasn't like, hey, I'm from Brooklyn, right? It was this clean, not British, but like a clean English-spoken thing that happened primarily in films and television, near as I can tell, because I've never met anyone that speaks in the way that these people did. But if you go back and
even saying like British accent is kind of offensive because they have different accents based on their local geography as well. So
they do, but there's a limited number. There's like six of them or so, right?
It's weird. So there are individual neighborhoods in London that have their own accent.
Yes.
Like, there's a bunch of those.
However,
London itself has an accent. Then the East End of London has a fundamentally different accent.
That's like saying Dothan, Alabama has a different southern accent than Opelika, Alabama.
Do they?
It's true, they do. But
can you tell?
I could when I lived there. Not, I didn't live in Alabama. I lived in Panama City, Florida, which I call southern Alabama.
You ain't from around here, is it, boy?
Yeah.
How could you tell?
Not boy.
I'm from the loop.
Anyway, before we go on. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for individual purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction. And its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a tech standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and it's also in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right, so we do have some calls and thoughts to get to, but before we do, I just want to mention, because it seems like the mainstream media has completely ignored this, and there are some, we'll call them freedom-oriented people, some voluntarists, some anarchist types, some libertarian types that live or have, you know, friends in the Acapulco, Mexico area. Those of you who don't know, on October 25th...
The Acapulco area?
Yes.
Okay.
On October 25th at 1 a.m., Acapulco was hit by a massive hurricane that erupted from a mere tropical storm to a Cat 5 hurricane in hours. And then it hit Acapulco with a population of nearly 1 million people in the middle of the night with no warnings from the media. I only found out about this because I'm on...
Like those state emergency broadcasts now, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm on some social media where some, you know, Acapulco, Mexico people are on my social media, you know, and they're all like, if you're in Acapulco, get out now, evacuate it. Like they were saying, individual accounts on social media were like, get out, Cat 5, on your way, save yourself, right? This is coming from people who probably had property in Acapulco but weren't there at the time and were like, oh, my God, this is happening, and no one's saying anything about it. So a bunch of voluntarist-type people have, of course, as they do in the absence of government, people figure out ways to help each other. They've put together a website called HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. They are actively taking contributions in almost any currency, including crypto. And they have teams of people now that are going around getting water and food and medicine and blankets and things like that to people who need them. There was very little. There's some very odd things about this hurricane. The number one thing is, according to reports, very little rain, if any. Like it was all wind and turbulence. Okay. That was doing all the destruction. They have a bunch of photos and videos up at HurricaneOtisRecovery.com.
That would be interesting to see on, like, the, you know, like the satellite images.
Yeah.
Because usually with the hurricane, you see the clouds.
Right.
For the rain.
Right.
It almost seems more like a tornado-ish, where you can't really see it. And
a
those
big, giant tornado, right?
Well, yeah. But I'm saying if no rain and it's just swirling winds up there, how do you even identify that?
So those of you familiar with Jeff Berwick of the Dollar Vigilante, this is him and his team who've put this together, and they're working on getting aid out to people who, well, they actually need it. They've been going to a nearby town collecting, you know, water and food and that kind of stuff. They've been driving around finding people who are in need and, you know, giving out the aid firsthand at no charge to these people. If you wish to donate, you can do so at their website.
Do you trust Berwick?
As an individual?
Well, if he's putting together donations and a rescue effort.
In this particular effort, yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
You know, I would have some reservations about doing business with him person to person.
He's got some reputational issues, and if he's collecting all the money.
He does.
Okay.
However, he also lives here. And knows what the state response is going to be, which is, well, nothing.
I get it.
Right? Mm. And so here's an attempt by, and, you know, he's pimping it, but it's not necessarily his.
Okay.
He's not running the organization. He just put it together. He had the resources to do it, so he did.
Unscrupulous profiteers are going to profiteer when the situation arises.
Mm. Right, but if
I don't know him personally.
But if that's the case, he's going to go around and be like, oh, can I buy your distressed property from you? That kind of a thing.
And who knows if that would happen later after he collects all this money. Mm. I'm not accusing him. Yeah. I'm just saying he's got some reputation issues if you're going to be donating to a charity run by Berwick.
And what I'm saying is that I see no other way for folks to contribute at this point.
Okay.
There's not a state-sponsored venue for this. And, in fact, most of the media has just been silent about Hurricane Otis completely.
Otis.
So you do the math on that one. Whereas here are, you know, some people with some meat in the game in Acapulco who have been affected, who know their neighbors and friends and family. They've put something together. It's near as I can tell, you know, trust me if you want or don't, it's fine. Make up your own decision by going to HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. Do your own research, figure out. If you find a better way, let us know at 603-283-6160.
I just want there to be some balance before people go giving money and throwing money in that direction.
Yeah. So if it were, you know, I don't know, if a hurricane hit New Hampshire, right, I would expect the libertarian community of New Hampshire, the freedom-oriented people, the voluntarists, if you will, to put something similar together and organize our own relief, you know, self-distribute, all that kind of stuff, get out of the way of the governments, because that's how you're going to deliver aid fastest to the most needy.
And there's probably a handful of people here locally that I would trust to operate a donation system at that scale.
Right.
Not just any libertarian or any mover, right? Because there are unscrupulous libertarians as well.
Oh yeah, sure, so. Certainly. But like, also there are unscrupulous statists.
Understood.
Who do the same thing. All they do is collect money and never render aid to anyone.
Exactly.
So You know, again, make up your own decision. If you trust government to do a thing, odds are they're not doing a thing.
Yeah.
Right? If you can find a better way to make an immediate impact, like, I know people who are like, they're on their way or en route to Acapulco to see how they can help, like physically, you know, that kind of thing. Now, some of these people are already in Mexico, but they're on the other side of Mexico. They got to go hundreds of miles before they can get to Acapulco and that kind of thing. So, folks are trying to help. If you can try to help, please do, because this is an underreported event, near as I can tell. So anyway, moving right along, let's actually pick up, Richie Rich's favorite caller. It's Skeeter calling from California.
What?
Hello, my bearded dumplings. It's your boy, the evolutionary capitalist and dispeller of Free Talk Lies. Young Skeet.
The worst, the evolutionary capitalist that we know of.
He's the misspeller of Free Talk. How do you misspell Free Talk Live?
Dispeller of Free Talk Lies. Hey,
F-R-E-T-A-L-K.
The market won't implement homesteading and restitution, right? And also, I have a question. If time is dependent on the observer, does that make it subjective? Got him!
I mean, you got to give us time to respond. I'll let Peekless take this because he's more educated on the whole time phenomenon.
Well, it is relative. Time is relative.
So it is subjective. All right.
So it's value.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So
value is relative, but it's still objective.
Yeah.
It's relative is a subset of objective, and value is not subjective.
Well, so here's the thing. When I value a thing, that actually brings it into the objective reality. So when you, like, you can see my, So when you can see my actions, you can tell the value behind that. So the actions are the expression of the value. So the value itself becomes objective.
Your mind doesn't bring in value into the world as just like it doesn't with color. Your mind only perceives value.
No. So, the mind actually does bring color into existence. It does not, however, bring wavelength into existence. The wavelength exists subjectively.
In the middle of a forest, color is subjective. Make a sound unless someone
hears. He's talking over people already. I've had enough of that.
All right, moving on.
But yeah, color is actually subjective, whereas wavelength is not.
Okay. I don't know if I want to argue about it, but I still, value is subjective, and I'm trying to make the jump between your subjective value manifesting into an objective reality.
Well, because of action. It's human action that makes the objective part of value.
Okay.
So it is generated subjectively, but it manifests objectively.
Okay. So how can I objectively tell what you value or how much you value it without a transaction?
Oh, you can't.
Okay.
Like, if you can't observe any of my actions, then you cannot determine what the values are. So it's sort of like, if I look outside, I can't see the air. But if I see a leaf move, I can deduce the current of air that is moving the leaf, even though I can't observe directly the air. So it is with value. With it being generated subjectively, you can't directly see my value, but you can figure out what that value is by the movements of me.
Okay. Are we separating terms as far as like value and motivation? Like you take an action. I don't know what the motive is behind the action, nor do I know what you value based on that action. Well, like, Lee went to the grocery store today. I have no idea why.
You can look outside. You can see a leaf move.
Right.
Now, you might not figure out that the air current is thus and so, or you might figure out that the air current was thus and so.
Okay.
In the same way, you can look at my actions, and you might figure out what my values are.
Right.
And you might not figure out what my values are.
Okay. But regardless of my ability to figure it out, they exist in reality.
Right.
All right.
All right. Let's look at it.
The strange thing is, it is literally our creative potential because it is the one thing that human beings literally create. Like, we figuratively create, but when we say we create a thing, we're not literally creating. We're taking elements that do exist, combining them in a novel way, but we don't literally create what wasn't there out of nothing else.
Well,
whereas value, we literally create out of nothing.
Sort of.
Okay, let's dumb it down for, well, me and like some listeners. We all have some sort of a drinking receptacle in front of us.
Right.
Yours, Peakless, is, they all look thermal in some way. Yours has a sort of a sliding top, so when you slide it away, it opens up an opening for you to pour a beverage into your face. Mine has a flip top, so it actually flips up and it locks down into place so that when I tip it over, inevitably it doesn't spill everywhere.
You should get an extension for that thing that looks like a middle finger.
And Richie Rich has one that has the protrusion coming out of it, sort of the male thing, if you will, the male end, so that when he tips his bottle towards his face, it pours right down his gullet. Now,
mine has a straw. I actually have to suck on this because I also sometimes feel limp-wristed.
Okay. Now that that's out in the open, officially, let's just pretend that each of us chose our certain top for our beverage receptacles because we value them differently.
Okay. Yes.
Right. You valued your style more than his style, more than my style. I value my style more than his style, more than your style. He values his style more than my style and your style.
Right? Maybe.
Well, is
by
that,
virtue of my choice,
is that not subjective?
Well, if you know for sure that we had that I had the option to choose your style for mine, then yeah, I've demonstrated my preference.
Okay.
So I think the way we're having the discussion as relates to your example, right, we each value it differently. That's the subjective valuation.
Right.
But we can observe objectively that we've made some choice based on our subjective valuation.
Right.
Okay. Can you arbitrarily, or at least for the sake of example, put dollar figures on these values?
I paid.
Assuming we had choice, right? You went to the store to pick up your cup. You went to the same store to pick up yours. I went to the same store to pick up mine. They had all three models available.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a way of measuring the value itself. So if I like this top, and we figured out I like this top better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I could have gotten your top, but this top was $1 more, and I was willing to pay it, then we have an objective scale of at least $1 is how much I prefer this top.
Okay.
Now, if it's $1.50 and I'm not willing to pay that, then my value can be measured at somewhere between $1 and $1.50 for whatever that's worth at that moment.
Sure. So if my style of beverage container topper was $5 more than both y'all's, but I chose it anyway,
then you have at least that much value of that.
Right. To me, the extra $5 is worth it subjectively because it's my preference and I was willing to pay more.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And I think with the creation of value, we always say like, oh, you got to create value. You got to provide value. You got to add value to the marketplace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you really don't know if you have until someone buys your stuff.
Fact.
Right?
Okay.
You create the most beautiful painting in the world, and no one buys it.
It's a tribute.
You create a tribute to the most beautiful painting in the world, and no one buys it. You know, it has value. It has subjective value to you,
right?
Because you created it, but there's no way to manifest that because no one else is willing to pay you for it.
Right.
All
right. Right. Now, if I come along and I say, I'll give you $1 for that painting, and you don't sell it to me, then you've demonstrated that it has at least that much value to you.
Yep. At least $1's worth to me, and not any more to you.
Right.
Or we negotiate up to find out where do we actually value it.
Right.
And if we, if we come together, then it's one way or the other.
Right. And in a lot of cases, the value is based on, well, I think I can get $20 for that painting. So it'll take me like a dollar's worth of effort. So I'm not going to be willing to go over $18 for this painting. And then if someone else is like, no, I can get $50 for that painting, so they can outbid me, it has a higher subjective value to them, and it ends up with them. And if they're right, then everyone wins.
Okay, so
that's also why rich people launder money through the art world.
Well, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
So, speaking of arts, let's take Captain Kickass music, for example. So, over at CaptainKickass.com, you can visit my website. You can see, you know, three music videos from the EP that I put out. You can listen to all three songs for free. There's no charge. You can go to... there's a link to click on that sends you to my Bandcamp page where you can either... You can spend $20 and you can download the EP immediately. You can spend $20, you can download the EP and receive a physical custom-branded USB card with it.
That's what I did.
For the same amount of money, right? But yet there's extra value there because you get a physical piece, right?
Well, there's extra product there.
Well, there's extra
product. So that's one of the things but they might have a negative value. Like, nah, that'll just be clutter in my apartment, so I'm not going to get that, and I'm glad that I don't have to receive that.
Right.
Hence, so I stopped buying DVDs.
Hence the reason for the difference in the product offering. Like, if you just want the music digitally, you can get that, download it, save it to your device, boom, it's yours, right? But if you want something that says, hey, I got a thing, and you want a physical thing to show people, you can also get the custom USB card. I also have things up there where, like, you can get the downloads, the custom USB card, a T-shirt, and two packs of rolling papers for $40. Right? So it's double the cost. So it's, instead of $20, it's $40. But the value add, if you will, at least in terms of marketing speak, is that you're also getting a T-shirt in your size, and you're also getting two packs of Captain Kickass branded rolling papers.
And for someone to purchase that means they value that combination at $40 or greater.
Right. Or is like, man, that's a good deal. Right.
That would be the or greater.
That's the idea behind even offering the bundle.
I would have paid $50 for this, but you're offering it for $40.
Right.
Deal, sir.
Right. I mean, I was selling T-shirts for $30 at Pork and Fork at the festival. So I figure $40 for the full meal deal is a reasonable offer for that kind of thing. Is that...
Ironically, it means you don't value it all that much as other people might.
That was,
you want to get rid of it.
That was going to be my ask, is like, am I valuing this subjectively to my preference as a guy who's into music, who buys music, listens to music, right? Like, to me, this is about what I would want to pay for this type of a thing. Like, the full meal deal.
So here we're kind of getting into marginal value, right? So if you're in the middle of a desert, that first bottle of water is going to be priceless to you. You'll pay $1,000, I'm going to die. But that thousandth bottle of water is kind of worthless to you. So you have a bunch of these. So that first one might be extremely valuable. In fact, I know for a fact that you put in tremendous effort to get that first copy.
Yep.
But once you had that first copy, that second copy is nowhere near as valuable. But if you can sell that to someone else, you would rather have the money because you have more than your marginal value.
Right. Okay. All right. Interesting. Interesting.
Did you catch all that, Skater?
I like to relate everything to what I call the tangible, right? I'm a, I'm a tactile learner. So that means, like, I can listen to theory and read books all day long and learn a thing and recite it. But until I actually put my hands on it and do it, I don't really kind of, it doesn't set in until I'm tactile. I'm implementing the thing that I've learned, right? That's when it really sets in. So more coming up.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News Update. The sitting president is losing favor with his own party.
President Biden's approval rating within his own party has hit a record low. According to a Gallup poll, only 75% of Democratic respondents approve of his performance in the White House, marking an 11-point drop from the previous month. Meanwhile, 35% of independent voters expressed approval, down 4 percentage points from September. I'm John Schaefer.
The United Auto Workers Union and GM are potentially getting a little bit closer to a labor agreement. According to CNBC, discussions persisted into Friday morning, and the proposed deal would be modeled after the tentative agreement recently struck with Ford. Packaged chopped onions are under a recall due to a salmonella outbreak. Gill's brand diced yellow or red onions have led to reported cases in 22 states. The CDC has documented a total of 73 cases nationwide. It's crucial to discard the affected packages, as cooking will not eliminate the salmonella risk. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Now play it in reverse.
Oh, very good. Yeah, well done. It's almost accurate.
You're supposed to say, like, this is Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283.
Oh, like backmasking?
Yeah.
Backmasking? Sorry, what did I say? Macbasking? Yeah. That's different. That's where you take the first syllable. There's a word for that, too. You take.
I bask in that macery.
When you take the first syllable of a word and flip it with the first syllable of the next word, there's a term for that.
Oh, spoonerisms.
Spoonerisms. Thank you.
I was thinking more like Judas Priest and playing the record backwards for satanic messages. Yeah.
That was actually on Styx, Mr. Roboto.
Okay.
Many artists have done backmasking, which is where they record something backwards and then play it on a record, and the only way for you to decipher it is to take and play it backwards.
Or Beastie Boys with an 808 drum machine.
Right, yeah. Slayer did it, Black Sabbath did it, Queen did it, Styx did it. I know the Styx one because I used to own the album Mr. Roboto, and I played it backwards to find out, well, what the heck does this say? And it is, if you look at do you have a dollar bill on you?
Maybe.
Do you have a dollar bill on you?
Always.
Can you bust one out?
And
around the ring of the pyramid with the eye, there's some Latin.
And that's what it says. It's like anunit queptis novus ordosiclorum or something like that. And so that's what they recorded.
Yeah, anunit queptis novus ordosiclorum.
Yeah, so they recorded that backwards and then played it on their album. So it sounded like but if you played it backwards, it says anunit queptis novus ordosiclorum, right? And I don't know what that means.
So Novus Ordo Seclorum is a new order of the ages.
We're just passing dollars around here this year. It's like, fine. I used to do that in bars as a bar trick. People would be doing like bar tricks for money or whatever. And I'd be like, okay, you got a $5 bill on you? I got a great trick to show you. And you're like, okay, here. And you hand me a $5 bill. And then I fold it up all really neat into like, you know, a little tiny triangle or a rectangle or something. And then I hold it up in front of you. And I go, okay, now watch this. And then I unfold it. Right? And I hold up in front of you and I go, is this the same $5 bill you just gave me? And you go, yeah, it is. I'm like, thanks. And I put it in my pocket.
Nice.
Gave you
is the key word there, yeah. You also have to be, like, able to defend yourself to pull that one off. Because you might get punched.
You might.
In elementary school.
And you might deserve it.
Yeah.
In elementary school, I snatched a dollar out of a kid's wallet when he opened up his wallet to, like, make sure he had lunch money. And then I made sure to, like, stand behind him in the lunch line. So when he went to go pay for it, he opened up his wallet again. The money wasn't there. I'm like, oh, here, dude, you can have a dollar or whatever, you know, however much lunch costs. He's like, I don't know what happened. It was just there. And then after he paid for his lunch, I told him that I snatched it and gave it back.
Nice.
But he didn't see me snatch it.
Isn't that nice?
The most impressive part was like how quick. I wasn't even like, you know, trying to hide it. He just opened up his wallet, peeked in there, and I just snatched it.
I want to give a shout out to Joa of Breaking the Flaw. He's a YouTuber. He goes around and does auditing,
First Amendment
auditing. Okay. He just sent me a photo of some unknown person using the Captain Kickass rolling papers.
Nice.
So yeah, nice. That's pretty sweet. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, and Anuit Coptis is he blesses our endeavors.
What's the rest of it?
Oh, the other one is Novus Ordo Seclorum is new order of the ages.
Interesting. The concept of that particular record, and it was a concept album, was one of where sort of robots had replaced, you know, most of the menial jobs, right? Janitorial stuff, right? Sidewalk sweeping, street sweeping, cleaning toilets, right? All that kind of a stuff. But, like, the world had sort of turned into this post-apocalypse sort of, you know, authoritarian, you know, run thing. And there was this guy named Kilroy, and he was like the rebel. Mm-hmm. And like you knew that he was the rebel by he left a sign that said Kilroy was here, right? And a little face that he drew or whatever. And so they incorporated that into this album. The album from front to back, it sounds like it's from the mid-80s, so like be forewarned, because it's got those tones and, you know, a lot of keyboards and all that kind of stuff. But the concept of the album in and of itself, the fact that it is a concept album from like 1985 or something, is just in and of itself spectacular. And then they incorporate sort of these Orwellian concepts into the album as well, which I find to be pretty great. Kilroy Was Here is the name of the album, of course. And it's kind of about... In some ways, it's about this guy who, like, you know, is helping people to sort of escape the Matrix, if you will, before the Matrix was even, you know, a movie. So before that term was common. But he ended up, like, hiding himself inside of one of these robots and pretending he was a robot to, like, get by and get around and, you know, help people out of their situations and that kind of thing.
Can relate.
So, yeah. Anyway, I looked into that because, like... It was the only album I owned at some point that had backmasking on it.
Okay.
My parental units wouldn't allow me, if you will, to purchase Black Sabbath, you know, and some of these other, you know, more sort of...
I'm more curious about how Peakless can relate.
Oh, pretending to be a robot to get by around other robots?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a job now, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we all can relate to that when it comes to
employment.
Basically,
that's what I escaped to maybe. New Hampshire from.
Okay.
I mean, I know I did, right? All right. Like, I mean, can I still... Every job that I've ever had, though, has required me to act, right? And I mean, like, become an actor.
Okay.
Not, like, act on my responsibilities. I mean, like,
You can't just be yourself when you go to work for somebody.
Oh.
Right? You can't just say the things you want to say. You can't just dress the way you want to dress. You can't just, you know, verbalize the things. You can't, you know, you make an agreement of sorts.
Yeah.
And you agree to behave in certain ways as part of that agreement. Most often when it comes to getting employment. And if you don't, you're going to hear about it from HR.
Okay.
Right? And this is usually the way it goes.
I you're probably right for most people.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've worked a job where that mattered too much. Like, I'm always okay getting fired. Okay. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I'll go get another job.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like, in general, in situations that matter, I am, like, my true authentic self.
That's good. Very few people can find that, particularly when employed.
Well, it's because I'm not worried about not being employed.
Right.
Right. You want to fire me, fire me. Right. But I also, you know, people don't like hearing this. I'm employed, but I still consider myself, like, self-employed as an independent contractor. Right. Like, I will go to the highest bidder.
Right.
I will perform the task at the rate we agreed to, but I will go do that for someone willing to pay me more. Yeah.
So what I tend to find when I'm working an ordinary job is that if I let people know about my perspective of government, it creates great distance between us socially.
Okay.
Like, I basically have to pretend that I am not aware that the biggest bully in the room is not actually my friend.
Okay. No, my boss knows I'm a free stater.
That's good. Yeah. And the idea, of course,
job
with
security.
The idea, of course, with
he's not a free stater. Doesn't like us at all. But he was, like, besmirching the good name, and I had to step in and correct him, and so I did.
Well, and that's good. So that kind of by default makes you a bit of an advocate, right? That
I
is to say
so.
that you're showing people that free staters are capable, competent, able to be employed. They do the job, right? You know, all that kind of a thing. Whereas some people are like, oh, those guys are scumbags or whatever, right? You know, it depends on the perspective.
But at one, early on, when I was a few months, I've been there over a year now, but early on, you know, I showed up to work with, like, a little under the weather, and a cough and a sneeze or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I think you're going to have to wear the mask. And I went, I'm going to challenge that. You know, I don't want to. He goes, well, let me go talk to the owner. And it was like, well, okay, just don't go upstairs because there's an immunocompromised lady upstairs.
Yeah.
Until you're better. I'm like, deal. Right? But if they said, like, wear the mask, I would quit.
You'd have been like, okay.
Don't think I will.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I'll go find someplace else.
Yeah. And you have to have that. You have to have your line no matter what the situation is, right?
Yeah.
Particularly when it comes to employment because, like, you shouldn't be asked to do certain things, and if you are, then you have to make a judgment call.
And this is why we have the dream of FU money.
Yes.
Is because when you reach the point that you have FU money, you can draw your line wherever you want to.
Right.
Whereas when masking was required, I was not in a position that I could make my rent and feed myself without that job.
Right.
So I could not make the moral stand of saying no. I will not put this on. You can either fire me, or you can let me go about my life like it was a week ago.
Yeah, even the job I was working at when that was a thing, right? Like, one time the maintenance dude came in, and he had, like, the plexiglass. And I was the facility manager, and I went, you know, and the owner sent him, right?
Yeah.
He was, like, working on behalf of the owner. It's like, do I get a choice to say no? And he goes, you can say whatever you want. And I go, I don't want it. And then he put it back in his truck, and he drove off. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he came back with the plexiglass, and I'm like, you're back. He's like, I'm like, do I still get a choice to say no? And he went, no, this time it's got to go up. And I said, well, can you put it in front of the desk over there?
Yeah.
The desk that I don't sit at, to my left. And he said, sure, I'll put it whatever you want. I went, well, then put it over there. So he put it in front of the desk that nobody sat at, that nobody used, and I still had no plexiglass in front of me.
Nice.
So, you know, what
that
do we
sounds
do?
Like a healthier environment.
It was. But if he had put it in front of me, I would have moved, or I would have
that other desk,
or I would have rearranged the office in such a way that there was this random plexiglass,
right?
Until such time that they fired me,
right?
And then they'd have no one to run the facility for whatever in between time that was,
and then they'd have to figure out legally whether or not firing you was you know, appropriate or not.
Whatever. Right? I mean, it's at will. I don't usually challenge those things. If they don't want me, sure. I don't want them. But yeah. But I wasn't going to do it,
right,
regardless of how they tried to structure it.
Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got Navid calling from New Mexico.
David?
You might have spoonerized that.
Yeah, maybe. David?
That was purposeful.
David? You're on. I can't hear you.
Did you unmute him?
Are you muting? Oh, let's check. Nope, he's unmuted.
Okay.
At least from here. Perhaps he muted himself. If you can hear me, David, call us back. We'll try and get you on. Somebody sprayed a can of David Begone. 603-283-6160. I want to move on because you guys have brought in some fantastic show prep. I don't know why. At some point, I fell off the reading of the LouRockwell.com bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, because they turned into, like, Trumpers and very right-wing and very closed borders and very...
That sounds like a reasonable assumption as to why I might have fallen off of that bandwagon. For a long time, I read a bunch of Lou Rockwell. I'd listened to his podcast.
They were much more libertarian.
Far more.
Four or five years ago.
10 years ago, even, right? They've been around. But this actually comes from LouRockwell.com, and I was surprised to see it in show prep for that reason. The title of this is, "There is no legitimate role for any government or rule." Now,
hard stop, period.
I didn't even need to read an article, right? Yeah. I'm like, that really sums it up pretty nicely.
I agree
with this statement. There is no legitimate role for any government or rule, by Gary D. Barnett, written October 28th, 2023. And so I was like, oh, I can stop there. But I was like, wait, no, this is show prep, so I should probably at least gander at the content. I started reading through this thing, and like I could immediately imagine me reading it on the radio, and like not only reading it, but going, yes, these are all of the things I have been saying, I would like to say, I would say again, if I could put them all down onto a short article that was easily digestible for people to read and hear and listen to and see or whatever, I would do that, and so I think it deserves some time here tonight. The article starts, "Recently I wrote about a world gone mad, and now I understand that my title was a gross understatement. Madness indicates psychotic behavior, but what's going on today, while most assuredly psychotic, is also intentional, completely planned, and being implemented with full consciousness by evil forces. To make matters worse, the pathetic masses are taking sides, fomenting hate, supporting their chosen masters, and tearing apart all that is right, thus allowing this insane tyranny and carnage to continue unabated. If one was to step aside and take stock of this insanity, he would at once be faced with the reality of the heinous agendas being pursued, but few are willing to take that step. Most all continue to look toward the complicit and abhorrent state to save them from the premeditated and monstrous policies being pursued by all governments at the behest of their controlling overlords. Religion has always been a control mechanism used to subdue the crowd, so it is no surprise that the worship of the state by its subjects is reverent in nature. The state and the church throughout time have acted as one, both seeking compliant and devoted followers."
This is why I'm pessimistic of the necessity of getting the vast majority of people on board with freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
Like, in order for us to be free, we must get everyone else their freedom as well. And no. You know, if I'm the runaway slave, right, on the plantation, and I'm, like, hitting that Underground Railroad, and somebody's like, well, it's too scary for me, I don't want to go, right, I don't want to drag him with me.
Right.
Nor am I going to stick around, because he's not on board with freedom yet.
Well, the fact of the matter is that he is likely to drag you back.
Yes, you're correct. But that doesn't make him my friend.
Right.
That also makes him my enemy.
So there is a truth to the idea that until everyone is free, none of us will be completely free. There is a truth to that, but it's not a practical kind of truth.
Like, there's this this unattainable goal of, like, absolute freedom.
Yes.
Right? Nobody can really quite define that. But what I say all the time
and it has some nuance to it, is that I want to be as free as I possibly can. And in order for me to be as free as I possibly can, I need everybody else to also be as free as they possibly can. That doesn't necessarily mean everybody has to have absolutely freedom. They just need to be as free as they possibly can.
But the guy sits on the plantation doesn't want that freedom.
He could be freer
if he came with me.
He's a house slave.
He doesn't want it.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'd say that while you're right, there's like an inverse distance rule, right? So the people who are closest to you, and I don't mean necessarily physically, but frequently physically, like the people who are in your direct community, if they are as free as they can possibly be, even though the people who are not in your direct community are not as free as they could be, that will have the greatest effect on your freedom.
Yes. This was the plot all along, the article continues, as history will certainly support. This is why the ruling class, through its controlled government, has always been the people's church, and the government agents have always sought to be seen as gods by the collective hordes of votaries. That's voters to you people. All power seekers have to destroy the idea of individualism, self-sufficiency, critical thinking, and independent sovereignty in order to be seen as superior to the members of the dependent herd. This tenet is mandatory for rule of one over another to exist, and it has been accomplished throughout time. Paraphrasing here, they need to eliminate freedom in order to have you submit to collectivism, their version of collectivism.
Yeah.
One of the main...
Otherwise, you're the one speaking out against it and going against it. Right, poisoning their well,
right,
and their batch of apples.
Right. One of the main goals of government is to place itself and its illegitimate authority above all others in society, thereby eliminating the possibility of critical scrutiny or prosecution from immoral and illegal acts. Government does not only rule, they make and enforce all of the laws that are meant only for the lowly people, not for those in power. Many of those who pretend to be anti-state will preach that all in government should be held to the same standard as the plebiscites, but they completely disregard reality. Government always and forever protects itself at all costs by controlling every aspect of what is referred to as law and justice.
Well, it's a good platitude, right? If we're going to have law, it should be equally enforced.
It's a platitude, it is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be.
It would be.
I mean, just for speeding, the cop can't catch you.
And if you are in a market where what you're offering is justice, that is a feature that people find very valuable. So you would get, that is what we would do if we had the choice.
See, okay, I hear what you're saying, and I want to believe that. But in the marketplace of ideas, the ideas of freedom and liberty are losing bad. And getting worse.
Are they now?
I think so. Maybe not in our insulated circle.
Oh, I completely disagree.
Okay.
So, first and foremost, the source of information is no longer some monolith. It's not the five companies that run every television because no one watches television. I mean, the boomers still do, but the vast majority of people go seeking out their information from multiple sources, frequently unofficial or unmainstream sources.
Celebrity influencers towing the party line.
Okay, sure. It's better than it was. It is moving in the correct direction. So our information is decentralized in origin. That's new. The money technology that is currently taking off is a fundamentally anarchist infrastructure. So in quite a number of ways, we are in fact moving in the right direction.
I'm not saying that freedom is winning, right? In fact, I would say the ideas of freedom, voluntarism, consent in all things, right? We should all interact on an individual basis with consensual agreements, right? All of that is a great idea. I'm not saying that it's winning, though, because clearly it's not. However, there has been growth just in the last 20 years or so. Right, the dawn of the internet, the information age, Right. Anarchist thought isn't new. There have been plenty of books written about it.
From like the 1400s.
Right, yeah. So it's not new. It's just the availability of the information is now new, at least in the last 20 years or so.
Right.
And so because of that, the ideas of freedom, anarchy, libertarianism, voluntarism, consent and all things, like if you bundle that all into, you know, freedom, if you will, that has seen growth just in the last 20 years.
Okay, so here's a big one. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Now, that is the standard belief. Like, the vast majority of people believe some version or another of that.
Right.
Now, that is a suppressed idea. That's new. They've never had to suppress the mainstream belief before. So, yeah, we are actually moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Winning, however, whole different argument. Right. Has the ideas of freedom seen growth? Yes. Is it winning? No. I would say no, because it's just such a small, like, what do we have to show for, you know, the progress that has been made? Well, the Free State Project, right?
10% we've got some homeschooling.
We've got some anarchist enclaves here and there. We've got some statistics that we can show that, yes, definitely growth has happened, but we're certainly not winning. We're not dominating. We're not, you know, 50%. We're not even, 3% for a societal change? Right? You know, you want to end like slavery or something, you got to change the minds of 3% of the population. Right? We're not there. We're definitely not there. So
not even close.
No, no. So we're not winning, but the ideas are growing.
Oh, I think we are winning. I completely think that we're winning.
I hope we win, yes.
So, for example, World War III is like one of the last things they have to scare us with. Because that's the thing. All of these control structures are founded on fear.
Yeah. Well, of the three people in this room, you're probably the most scared of World War III actually breaking out.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. But the fact is they're using it. It's one of their last cards that they can play.
Okay.
So they're no longer holding on to some scare tactics that they're not using.
But they're not pulling
desperate.
They're not pulling out World War III because there's an abundance of individuals clamoring for more freedom and liberty.
No, but it's what they're worried about. And the potential is becoming more and more likely. Look at Argentina. Like, I don't know if you've seen the, like, fire and brimstone hatred of the state that man expresses.
He came in second.
Okay. They're doing a runoff election.
They're doing a runoff election, but he didn't even, like, all the talk that we had last weekend about, you know, the fact that he might win, and if he won, then they do a runoff to make sure he lost. He didn't even win.
Well, maybe.
No, he didn't.
No, there's a lot of voter suppression.
There's a runoff.
There.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
603.
And the voter suppression comes from the state.
And even coming in second, have we ever come close to that?
603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. Our number 3 of Free Talk Live, still to come.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.